You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I have to pick up Isaiah Thomas full court. So Isaiah Thomas hated being picked up full court. Hated it, right? So I was picking up full court, and then Rick Mahorn came and hit me with a screen, and I swear I thought I hit a wall. I mean, he hit me so hard, right? So Isaiah Thomas, the next possession, goes, "Hey, young fella, I don't mind you picking me up. You know, you can do a little fake hustle, but it, don't be out here trying to embarrass me now."
Showtime with Coop is powered by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network.
Against my favorite player of all time in Magic Johnson, and then to play with the best player that was in that same era of going to the NBA, you know, I was blessed in the era I played in.
Yeah, I was just telling Coop, like, I remember all the series back to my first recollections are 84, 85.
Yep.
So I remember 84, 85, 85, 86, 86, 87, all those finals appearances. But my favorite ever Celtic season is 90-91. Mm-hmm. That season, D, if he didn't get injured and Mikhail didn't hurt that foot, you guys would have went up against Coop and the Lakers.
Yeah.
I don't know. Coop, were you retired by then?
No, I was done then. You would have had,
We would have had the Lakers, you know.
It would have been Kerry Keekle.
Oh, boy. Bird would have had a field day, let me tell you. But the point is that, like, the way fate works, right, he got injured. Because you guys were better than the Bulls that year. You were better all season long. And Reggie was on his way. I mean, it was just made, like, it was gold.
Here's the funny thing about that year. We went into the All-Star break. I think we were 36-5. And our coaches were all-star coaches. And my rookie dunk contest that year, you know, Bird, McHale, and Parrish was an all-star game. And we thought we had a chance. And Larry got hurt, you know, and then Kevin hurt his foot and kind of struggled a little bit and lost the number one seed. And I think that's one of the reasons why. That was that year Detroit beat us, and then they beat Chicago and got
Chicago.
No,
Chicago beat them.
So I thought that was our opportunity during my time with Bird, McHale, and Parrish winning the championship.
Such a fanboy. I remember skipping high school, right, for game one, I think it was. Bird was in traction after game five. So it's game one against the Pistons. Bird's out. I think Zeke was out too. But I remember a pigeon flew out onto the parquet floor and everybody started chanting, "Larry, Larry." They had a Bruins game that night, so they put the game on during the day. So I faked sick so I could watch it and record it, you know, on a VHS.
Yeah.
They were all chanting, "Larry, Larry, Larry." Remember? Oh, man, that was just the best. Sorry, Coop.
Nah, he's hijacked. I'm gonna tell you a quick story, and this is more of a personal story. Other than Magic, and I'm being really honest here, other than Magic, my other two favorite players was Dennis Johnson and Michael Cooper. Because they brought an element to the game of defense, which I really thought I knew that was we could be part of my calling card. So I had an opportunity, obviously DJ passed away, to obviously be mentored by him, you know, and him teaching me, you know, how to count dribbles, you know, how to you know, play pass.
Wait. How to do what, Dean?
Count dribbles.
I'm the offensive player.
Yeah, when you're playing defense, he told me how to count dribbles.
No kidding. I mean, look,
explain that. What is that?
That's what made him so. I always wonder what he's to count dribbles.
Yeah, he knew how to count dribbles. So what happens is, he said, D, this is what you do. Every player bringing the ball to the court has a dribble pattern. When they're comfortable and uncomfortable, it's a 1-2 change or it's 2-1-2 hesitate change. So he said, watch their pattern when they're comfortable, because they're always going back to that pattern when they're under pressure. So when you're pressuring them on defense, they're always going to do a 1-2 between the legs, 1-2 behind, whatever they're going to do, or 1-2 spin, whatever, or 1-1-2, whatever. So he said, watch the first part of the game when you're watching the game and figure out their dribble pattern, what they do when they're comfortable, when there's no pressure. Then when you put that heat on them, now when they get really pressured, they're always going to go back to that comfort pattern because they know they can do it really well. So that's how DJs always pick the ball off people.
Yeah.
Because he counts dribbles.
No kidding.
That is fascinating.
So I like to think I'm learning. That's
fascinating.
Yeah, that is. And you picked that pattern up from DJ, and that helped you in your defense. Great. I never knew that.
I didn't either.
DJ, that's actually pretty. You know what? Yeah.
Thinking about it, though, you could see how he was stealing the ball that way because, you know, you see – guys go up and then come up high, and he'd pick the pocket so quick to tap it right to the back to
and
go
he
for a fast break.
Always get steals in the fourth quarter when they need him. Now I know why. Because the first half, he's blocking.
He was counting. Yeah.
And I always knew that guy was special, man.
That's brilliant.
That's brilliant. Do you want to go back to a little bit more about the DJ, the counting dribbles and stuff like that? That is so amazing to me because I never thought about doing that. Yeah. I think unconsciously I would watch people how they dribble, but I never thought about counting the dribbles coming down. You know, and now that I think about it, Isaiah Thomas had a pattern, Magic had a pattern, and that's what made DJ such a great defender because all his steals would come in the fourth quarter.
But he told me that my rookie year. He said, "Listen, you want to be a great defender, on the ball defender. You play two things. You play guesses and you play angles. But you got to understand patterns." And he said, "You got to learn how to count dribbles." I said, "What does that mean?" He told me the whole story about how to count the dribbles, different guys' dribble patterns, where they're comfortable, uncomfortable, under pressure. And I would get steals. So I get a lot of steals off the ball, long arms. I get a lot of like rips off players late in the quarter when they get pressured. And again, when you're a student of the game, like DJ was, that things have taught me. And I would watch you because you would know how to blow up screens. You would guard the best defender, like those type of things that I watched. And I, you know, again, I wasn't, you know, DJ was 6'4", you 6'6", you know, so I was a smaller guard, but I always wanted to guard the best person and be able to know how to guard somebody on the ball like DJ was great at. And you were great guarding people off the ball. And, you know, basically when they got the ball, kind of, you know, like locking them up, you know, it was, you know, those things is that I don't think enough players nowadays really study the game, like look back at history and look at how people defended or rebounded or shot or come off screens and things like that. So it's, you know, again, with DJ, I remember I had to pick up Isaiah Thomas full court. So Isaiah Thomas hated being picked up full court, hated it, right? So I was picking up full court, and then Rick Mahorn came and hit me with a screen, and I swear I thought I hit a wall. I mean, he hit me so hard, right? So Isaiah Thomas, the next possession, goes, "Hey, young fella, I don't mind you picking me up. You know, you can do a little fake hustle, but it, don't be out here trying to embarrass me. Now, you can pick me up, and if you pick me up the right way, I'll call the screens for you, because Chief ain't back there." Okay. So I'm just picking him up a little bit, and then he goes, "Screen right." And I go, So he's like, "Okay, we're gonna help each other. You're gonna act like you picking me up. I ain't gonna let you get your head knocked off." So people don't do that no more. You know, that's how we do it back in the day. We look out for each other. But that was my Isaiah Thomas story. Like, he really looked out for me after I got hit by Rick Mahorn that one time. He's like, "You don't want to get hit like that again, do you?" I go,
You know what, D? I'm going to say this, and then we're going to move on to the next thing, is that my best DJ, or Larry Bird story, was in 85, and DJ told me this, because we were very good friends, you know, but during the season, I didn't talk to him. I wasn't, you know, "Hey, Coop," he tried to talk to me, but all season, we broke bread and that whole thing, but he was telling me in 84 when the Celtics were beating us, there was a play and Casey Jones was trying to draw up a play. And he was trying to think about something like that. And Larry looks over at him and takes his hand and wipes off the whiteboard and said, "Hey, man, fuck this. Give me the ball and rest of you motherfuckers get out the way."
Well, he still did that. He still did that. I mean, he would have changed. See, Chris Ford was a coach when I was there. So Chris Ford obviously played with him and they won a championship and then became the head coach. And he would do the same thing to Chris Ford. He's like, "Man, don't give me no tricky plays. Give me some tricky plays." Like, "Man, I always, man, give me the ball. And we're going to do, like, you know, come down, old school, you come down, just straight post up, put in, and just play. You know, like, right? You going to guard me or not? You going to double? What you going to do?" You know, so those are the days, right? That's just joy, you know, our era we play. Not saying this era is not great to look at, but our era was just so much fun because there's so much competition. It was, you know, it was friendship after the season, you know, and we really didn't kind of, like you said, we didn't communicate during the season. Obviously, we didn't have phones and social media and all that stuff. So we knew when we stepped on the court, it was going to be a battle, you know, and then, you know, off the season, hey, we break bread, go over, can hang out, you know, whatever, but not during the season. We were not, you know, that definitely how it worked back then.
D, was DJ around the team a lot that year? Because
he was assistant coach. He was assistant coach that year.
He was in 91?
Yep. Yeah, he was assistant coach. He was there.
All right. Yeah, that's great. Because that was that a, they released him that year. He retired. Yeah,
I got a lot of flack because the year I got there drafted, that's the year DJ retired.
And Brian Schott came in.
So they're like, "Well, who's this young kid from Jacksonville that weighs 155 pounds coming to, you know, replace Dennis Johnson?" I'm like, "I'm not here to replace Dennis Johnson." So, you know, I ended up starting that year. So basically I was replacing Dennis Johnson. So I was kind of like, well, you know, he ain't DJ. So DJ, you know, obviously, you know, taught me a lot and kind of like, "Hey, this young kid, you know, he's going to be all right." You know, so it was good, but he was around, which helped my transition a lot my rookie year.
You're listening to Showtime with Coop. Our guest, D. Brown, one of the greatest Boston Celtics players. I hate to say that, D, but you know, I got to give you your honors and stuff like that. I want to give a shout out to one of my sponsors, HelloFresh. You look like a guy that's real, you eat well and you do things. Do you cook, D?
No, I do. I barbecue a little bit, but HelloFresh is great because I know my daughter uses HelloFresh and gets stuff delivered. So I know it's a great company that has great food.
Fantastic food. I got some, made this about five or six times, D. Mm-hmm. I'm a cooker. My first wife got divorced from my first marriage. I'm remarried now. I've been married to my wife now. We've been together for 20 years, but we've been married for 15. And the food that you get there is so fresh. And I'm actually shocked because they send you a little menu and things like that. They show you how to cook. So if you don't, and your daughter, we're going to get into her in a minute, probably knows about this because it's fresh food. It's delivered to your door. Don't have to go out and battle the grocery stores and do any picking. They pick the best food for you. So, Dee, we're going to try to get you some HelloFresh sent to you one time so you can see. Do you cook? You do a little bit, but your wife mainly does the cooking.
Yes.
See, my family, I cook. My wife's from Sweden, so I don't eat that. Her food don't have taste to it or flavor, so I do. She's going to kill me when she hears this, but HelloFresh, okay? We're going to get you some, D.
Make a fast break to FanDuel during the NBA playoffs, because right now, new customers can get a no-sweat first bet of up to $1,000. That's right, $1,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Do all your sports wagering on FanDuel for great promotions daily, safe and secure app, and get paid instantly. Always, always looking at the lines, and now it's even become a part of our coverage here at CLNS where we're talking about FanDuel lines. There's no better place, especially for playoff action, then the number one sports book, that's FanDuel. Visit FanDuel.com/Boston and get a no-sweat first bet of up to $1,000. That's FanDuel.com/Boston. FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the National Basketball Association. 21 plus in all states. First online money wager. Only $10 deposit required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions do apply. See full terms and service at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino LLC. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG. If you're in Colorado, Iowa, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia, 1-800-GamblingHelpline.org. Call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
You know what, D? When did you know your career was coming to an end?
When you wake up and you're like, man, I got to work out. I got to get to practice 2 hours for 20 minutes of playing time. Like, no, like it gets to a point where, you know, your body just tells you that you can't play the level. And then your mind is still fresh. You know, your mind is still sharp. But then the things that you thought you could do, you know, you couldn't do. And people are like, oh, you know, I said, man, I used to have hops. Now I just got hopes. Like, I couldn't jump anymore. I couldn't like elevate like I wanted to.
So, D, the pumps didn't help you jump higher?
Not no more. And I became like a three-point shooter. You know, during my career, I led the league in three-point shooting 1 year. You know, so I transformed my game to make sure that, you know, wherever my body was telling me what I couldn't do, I could still do other things at a high level. So, you know, once I got to like my 11th year, it just, you know, every day it's like, man, you know, hour before practice, warming up, the practice, the, you know, to be, a, you know, at that time, you know, I was a veteran playing maybe 15, 20 minutes a game into my career. And that's when you know. And it's always good to be able to leave on your terms when you know you've given everything you can give. Your body just can't do it anymore. They're not ripping the jersey off your back. You can kind of transition the way you want to transition. So I was very blessed to be able to do that. Because once I retired, literally the next day, I had an office with the Orlando Magic. Being a assistant to the general manager. So I was great. My transition was very easy after I retired and ran into the front office the next day.
D, you know what? A couple more questions. Thank you so much, man, for the time you've given us, okay? You said you have kids. Your daughter, Lexi, plays. I remember when I was coaching for the WNBA, we were scouting her. I was down in Atlanta Dream. She went to Duke or Maryland?
So you started off at Maryland in sophomore year, and then they went to two Final Fours. So our freshman in the Final Four and sophomore year in Final Four. And then what happened was her freshman year, Maryland was in ACC. The second year, they moved to the Big Ten. And she didn't want to play in the Big Ten. She wanted to play in ACC. She's from the South. She's like, I'm a Big Ten baby. I mean, ACC baby. So the Big Ten, they're traveling all over the country. She's playing like, you know, Iowa, Nebraska. They ran through them, went 16-0. She's the most outstanding player. But she wanted to play in ACC. Her dream was always playing ACC, always. So her second choice coming out of high school was Duke. So she transferred to Duke, you know, was there 2 years there. She's the only player in NCAA history to be a AP All-American in two different schools. Only player ever, men or women.
For the listeners out there, got drafted. Now she's with the LA Sparks, doing a great job. D, you're proud of all your kids, but how proud of you of her?
I'm proud of her because she – paved their own way. I mean, you know, she worked so hard to be a basketball player. She wasn't the most athletic. She ain't the tallest. You know, she's, you know, for a female, she's 5'9", 5'10". She can shoot the air out the ball. She's defensive player of the year in ACC her senior year. But I'm proud of her because her journey wasn't easy in the WNBA. She got drafted in the first round. Played for Connecticut, didn't play a lot, got traded to Minnesota, played there a couple years. Then got cut and then went to Chicago, won a championship in Chicago, then got signed as a free agent with L.A. and has found a home in L.A. there. So I'm just proud of her journey that she stuck with who she was kept working. Right now, she started for the Sparks, averaging like 15 points a game. I think they lost last night. But I'm proud of her just because she paved her own way. So now we go around places, and it used to be, oh, D Brown's your dad. Now I'll go somewhere and they're, oh, Lexi Brown, you know, is your daughter, you know. So, you know, she's on celebrity status right now, which I'm very proud of. And she's very professional. She handles her business the right way. And that's what I'm more proud of her so far.
You know what? Really great young lady. I had a chance to do our show. We have a show out here after the games called Slam Dunk. And we had her on. And she's going to come on some more because we're going to the finals. But just a sharp young lady. You know what? Great dad you have been. I mean, not just to her, but to all your kids. But very articulate young lady. And she found a spot here because I went to the home opener. And she was like, I got her some tickets to one of the playoffs games. So she kind of like went over there, hey, Coach Cooper, it's kind of nice to see. But Dee, before awesome. You get out of here, Nick has something for you.
All right, what you got, Nick?
A couple more lightning round ones. So Robert Parrish.
Yes. He was the Egg McMahon of the group. Like he was stoic. He's my big brother. Him, DJ, and Robert was my big brother. And Robert.
Dee, hold up. I'm sorry. You said the angry man of the group?
Ed McMahon. Angry.
He always looked mad.
But he wasn't.
He's an angry man. But hold on. If you know Chief, I'm sure you do, off, but he's the funniest dude in the world.
He's
so funny. And, you know, he's the one. DJ did a lot of stuff for me on the court. Robert did a lot of stuff for me off the court. He taught me how to be professional. He said, D, you're going to come to the game wearing a suit. And he said, D, if you buy 5 suits, I'll match and buy 5 suits for you. So he's like, listen, you're going to come to the game, you're going to dress, you know, Robert always wore suits and his alligator shoes. He said, this is how you're going to come to games. You ain't coming to games no sweatsuit, you know, team issue gear. You'll come to game in a suit. So he was very good at me of understanding how to present myself off the court, how to be professional, how to talk to people, how to go to a business meeting. But, you know, you're talking about a guy like the face on the, you know, the Chief. And but he laughed, you know. If Larry was like 2 hours before, Kevin McHale was 2 minutes before, and Chief would kind of get there like right in between. so there, you talk about. And again, you've been around, you know, so many great players. You know how great players, they all have different personalities. They all, you know, Larry be mad because Kevin would get there 2 minutes before practice or not do shoot around. And Kevin would tell him, like, do you want – I can give it to you one time a day. You want it 10 o'clock? You want it 7 o'clock? When do you want it? You know, Chief, and Chief would be like, both of y'all need to shut the hell up. So Chief like the mediator. You know, Chief made sure he made everything calm. And you would never see that on the court because he never say anything. But in the locker room, on the plane, you know, practice, he's always a guy like kind of kept them two from knocking each other out.
that's under discuss. People don't talk about that. McHale and Bird used to do this a little.
Yeah, all the time. And Chief was a guy that kind of was a guy, like I said, he was Ed McMahon. He was a guy that, you know, like, you know, oh, that's funny, you know what? And they respected him. You know, they respected Chief. And that was the best thing, that because he went about his business. He's professional. You know, he came to work every day, he had his lunch pail, you know, didn't get that fanfare like everybody else did. But always a key cog. But to me, he was more big brother mentor to me than anybody other than DJ in Boston, because he really cared that I just, you know, cared myself the right way.
Reggie Lewis. Tough one.
Gone too early. He was the next one. Like, he was the one that was going to carry the torch with the Celtics. We went through a phase, you know, we lost Len Bias before I got there. And then the big three retired and Reggie passed away. I was the only one left. And Reggie was the guy who's going to be my backcourt mate for the next, you know, 15 years. Now, I never thought I was going to leave the Celtics once when the big three retired, because I knew I had Reggie. And Reggie was that guy. Like, he was the only guy seen block Michaels fade away like 3 times in one game. He would score, you know, 4 times, probably 4 times. And he would score when he wanted to. He was, you know, people look at Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kevin
Durant back then. Maybe not without, maybe as a little 3-point range. Mm-hmm. But as far as, better get a shot off anytime we wanted to. Great guy, quiet. You know, I just he passed away on July 27th.
Yep.
And I remember that day because I remember after he passed away, that next year, I really didn't remember my whole season because I was in a fog because there was a guy that you thought was going to be next to you that was not there. And Donna and his wife, and I still keep in touch with his kids, Regina and Reggie Jr. So I still keep in contact with them.
He's a ball player, isn't he, Reggie
Jr.? Yeah, he's not a bad ball player.
Yeah.
So it's sad.
He's still loved out here. So I'm in Boston, right? He's loved out here.
Because he, Northeastern.
Yep.
You know,
charitable.
Yeah, and he had the turkey giveaway and things like that. But
yep.
He's a guy that everybody was looking to the side to have a running mate. Like, okay, this is going to be my guy for the next 10 years.
We thought that too. That
and it goes away. And all of a sudden, you're left to being the man. And I wasn't prepared to be the man. I was a 19th pick in the draft. Like, Celtics legends, Burr, Mikhail, Parrish, and, all the legends down the road from Hines and Kuzi to Havlicek and now D. Brown. Like, so I miss him every day. It's tough to – when I see 35 run around anywhere, I always think about him. Definitely a person that was gone too early who could have definitely, changed the landscape of the 90s for the Boston Celtics, for sure.
This is my last thing. I just want to thank you because when shit went bad, you kept us with dignity and pride and made us never embarrassed in those late night, in the mid-late 90s. Like, you really handled yourself like a Celtic and not a lot of people did back then. So it means a lot to us legacy fans.
It was lean times.
It was.
Once everybody, retired and passed away, we had a transition of coaches and players coming in. And,
were you there when Pitino was there?
Which one?
You weren't there when Pitino.
Yeah, he's the one who traded me.
He traded you, didn't he? To Toronto, right?
Yeah, had another hour.
The dickhead.
That's another story. But.
Yeah. No, tell it. Go ahead. No. I'd hear it. That's all
right. Dean, we're going to have you on another time, man.
Definitely.
To tell that story. But listen, thank you so much. Listeners, you heard it here. So if you are a better, go to FanDuel and bet, because you heard D. Brown say that the Celtics are going to be the first team out of 150 teams to come back and win after being down 0-3 and come back and win a series.
Oh my
I'm
God,
calling bullshit because that's the name of the show. Showtime with Coop. But D said it here. D, thank you so much, man.
Thank you,
appreciate D. you. Love you, dude. And you know what, D? If they come back and win this, I'm going to have to buy you something. But I'm not a believer yet.
Okay.
Not a believer. But if they do, you are something special.
I appreciate that.
Thank you,
Thanks, Dean.
Take care, my man.
Showtime with Coop is powered by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network. Sign up at FanDuel.com/Boston. New customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win.